You know, last week on Saturday when we found out we weren't going to have church, it was just like, oh, a snow day. And you know, you look forward to it, and the next morning, I felt an emptiness. And so I was so happy that today isn't a snow day, because I need to see my people on Sunday. So thank you all for coming. And our Cynthia is back. Yay! All right, I have a few announcements. Please sign the registration pad, and maybe you won't have to pass it down. If you haven't picked up your new offering envelopes, they're on the back table. And there's an envelope in your bulletin for Human Relations Sunday. It's noisy can. There's coffee. It's downstairs, right? In Fellowship Hall after church. Now, Bill, could you do your report while we're having coffee, or do you want to do it before we go downstairs? All right. Bill is going to give a financial report in Fellowship Hall while we're drinking our coffee after church.
It's only 5 minutes.
So he won't ruin everybody's talking because he'll only take 5 minutes. Noisy Can today is for children first on the lake shore. And that's a food program where they pack the lunches. For the weekend, and that's what our Noisy Can money is going for.
There's two articles on the back porch out there about
what it is. Well, it's a pretty important mission.
One thing I liked about it was that nobody has a paid salary that works for children first
on the lake shore. Okay, thank you. Rich? Okay, next week we'll do Noisy Can. That's a very good point. Hopefully we'll have much better weather and we can get at least 30 people next week. All right, I have a letter, a thank you note. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, your recent gift to the United Methodist Community House was so generous and thoughtful. Our families and staff truly feel your love and compassion. Please consider visiting us when you can schedule, when your schedule permits. We covet your prayers as we seek to, We covet your prayers. You are a blessing to God's people with your help. Sincerely, Eric Williams. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Community House. So, are there any other joys or concerns? Rich?
Thank you.
Okay, yes. Well, we won't stop. We won't stop. Anyone else? Tom?
We just want to say thanks for the prayers for maybe Brother Randall. He did get to his first visit with his oncologist this week. They're a long way from knowing conclusively what he's got and what he's doing about it, but he hasn't been accepted for treatment by the local cancer center, and things are moving right along. So thank you again for all your prayers.
And we won't stop either. All right, let's ring the bell. There's a lot to pray for here. Thank you. you're able to stand, will you please do that for the call to worship? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Come into His presence with praise and thanksgiving.
Shall we come before Him with offerings?
He has told us what is good.
And what does the Lord require of us?
To do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Let's continue with the opening prayer. O God, we trust in Your power to create, to sustain, to enable. But we could not trust if we did not know that You are always near. Be with us, Lord, as we are gathered here to worship You. Help us not to check our minds or our hearts at the door, but enable us to bring all that we are to You so that we might experience Your touch upon all aspects of our life. We pray this because of and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first hymn is I Stand Amazed in the Presence on 371.
Oh, how marvelous. see you this morning. And I like to say sometimes it's good to be seen as well. It's cold. Did you know that? I was hearing some stories about cold weather, and I watched the weather this morning and the predictions about how cold it's going to get this week. And my experience is after it gets so cold, it doesn't matter how cold it is, it feels the same. It just feels awful. But I was remembering years ago, still a young pastor then, we were at Empire, which is up near Traverse City, and there was no garage at the parsonage, so the car had to sit outside. And I think it was probably in January, and there was a district meeting, and it was probably like 30 or 4 miles away. And I went outside. My car was covered with snow. And the thermometer, this is what I remember, said 30 below zero. And I said to Mary, I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go to that meeting. I went back inside and didn't go. That's one of the few times I didn't go, right? You're supposed to say, yes, dear. Well, that's one of the times I didn't go. It was cold. And I think it was the wise thing to do to stay home that day. So, use your judgment and be careful in this weather. We canceled church last Sunday because it was cold and snowy. Sometimes it's a hard call to make, and from my perspective where I lived, it was the right call. But I'm getting some help from a couple of folk over this way, and I appreciate that. And I will never question their judgment. I'm happy to have someone here because I can't tell where I live what it's like here, you know. And vice versa, you don't know what it's like over my way. But I want to invite you to a short time of prayer. We'll have our time of silent prayer, and then I will lead us in a pastoral prayer and a short prayer, our short chorus, and then we will sing the chorus, Fill My Cup, 641 in our hymnal. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and glad in it. We're grateful that we can be gathered here this morning and offer to you our worship and praise. We're thankful on a cold day such as this that we have heat in our homes and we have a warm place to worship you in. And we are also mindful of others less fortunate than us who are perhaps cold or lack resources, and we offer our prayers for them. We're thankful for your goodness and your provision for our needs, your help in times of difficulty, your presence in time of rejoicing and praise. We thank you for all the gifts that you give and provide for us and for others. And we want to say in a humble way, thank you for all you do. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, his life, his teaching, his ministry, his death on the cross, his resurrection with power, his ascension. And we recognize that this was for us, for all, and we thank you that we have come to know you through Jesus. We thank you for the gift of life, forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life, and we thank you for the privilege of being your children brothers and sisters belonging to the family of God. And again, we thank you, recognizing that this is not our doing, but yours. We ask for forgiveness. We pray that you would help us to live in ways that are pleasing in your sight and in agreement with your word and your will. We want to offer our prayers for hurting people. We pray for those on our prayer list, for those spoken of earlier in our service. We pray for your healing presence in their lives. We pray for grace and mercy. We offer prayers for peace in our world. We pray for those who are in places of conflict, places of danger. We offer prayers for children who are often innocent victims of much that is wrong in our world. We offer prayers for your church. We pray for that larger church that encompasses all who believe in Christ and seek to serve you in faithfulness. We offer prayers for our United Methodist Church as it faces important decisions in coming weeks. We pray for a discernment of your will. We pray that you might work through the delegates that assemble, and that you would help us to know your will and way for us. We pray for Saugatuck United Methodist Church and the ministry that we have here in our community. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for each other. We thank you that we can serve you and share your love. We pray for our church family, for those who are sick, for those who are going through difficult times. We pray that you would help them and that you would help us to help them. We ask for your presence in this worship service as we share together. May our worship be acceptable in your sight, and may we receive from you that which we need for this day and coming week. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Psalter lesson today is on page 818 of our hymnal, and we'll sing the second response. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for the Lord has done marvelous things. God's right hand and holy arm have gotten the victory.
The Lord has declared victory and has revealed its vindication in the sight of the nations.
The Lord has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the hands of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Bring forth his joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With the trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the ruler of the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it.
Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord,
who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with vengeance. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This is our time for prayer for the sick that we share together, and we will follow the fashion that we've been giving this prayer. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. God of compassion, source of life and health, strengthen and relieve your servants. And give your power of healing to those who minister to their needs, that those for whom our prayers are offered may find help in weakness and have confidence in your loving care through him who healed the sick and is the physician of our souls, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, our ushers will wait upon us and we'll worship God with our tithes and offering. Thank you. That you would bless all that we give to you this day. May you use our gifts and our lives to share your love with people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now we will sing 362, Nothing But the Blood.
Thank you.
scripture this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. In your Pew Bible, it's on page 91 of the New Testament. I'm going to be reading from NIV version of the Bible this morning. John 4, verses 46 through 54. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on his way home, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, your son shall live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign or miracle that Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that during these moments you would speak to us anew through your word and through your messenger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I was wondering, just a curiosity question, I know some of you have served in the service. Have any of you been in a foxhole? Nobody. I used to see movies when I was a kid about people dug into foxholes, and there were bullets and mortars, and there was all kinds of things happening, and they were hunkered down inside the foxhole for safety. There are stories about foxhole conversions. You've heard those stories. The situation is like that. Someone in some conflict somewhere is dug down deep, and there's bombs and bullets and all kinds of violence, and they're worried, and then suddenly out of nowhere the person next to them is hit and killed instantly. And so the other in the foxhole begins to pray, and he says, God, if you get me out of this situation, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And so, miraculously, perhaps, he's spared, he survives. And after a while, the way the story goes, he forgets about that moment. And so it's not a compliment, I guess, when people think of foxhole conversions. They don't put much credence to them. And yet, oftentimes, just like the guy in the foxhole, we get into a difficult place in our lives. Might not call it a foxhole, but it's the same kind of feeling. And we pray and we ask God to help us in our time of need. And oftentimes we make a renewed commitment to serve God. Now, the test of that moment in our lives is not that we turn to God and ask for his help. It's how we live after that, if we live up to the commitment we made or not. So, in a sense, if not all of us, many of us have made, if you don't like the word foxhole conversion, you can say foxhole commitments. We've prayed earnestly for God to help us in a time of need. And the question is always, how will we live afterwards? And there is a sense in this account of the royal official coming to Jesus that he was in a difficult situation. He needed help for his son, and he didn't know anywhere else to turn but to Jesus, and so he went. Now, as you read this account, at the beginning and the end, there is a linking of this miracle to the earlier miracle in Cana. The earlier miracle was that Jesus was at a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and Jesus changed the water into wine. And then this second miracle, or as John says, second sign, is linked. Those two are somehow linked together. A writer by the name of A.W. Pink suggests, and I think he's accurate, he gives a lot of similarities between these two miracles, but I think the most significant one is that he says, in the first miracle, the result is that the disciples believed. In the second miracle, the result is that the royal official and his household believed. The purpose of those two miracles was to cause people to believe. Somehow, in my mind at least, that connects to those foxhole experiences. If you can find something that's good there, it is to cause us to believe even more. And later in his gospel, John writes, "These signs are written to you so that you will believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and have life in his name." And one other comparison between the miracle of changing water into wine and the healing of the royal man's son is, as James Boyce points out, is in one miracle, it's a time of joy and celebration. In the second, it's a time of anxiety and desperation. The shadow of death is present in the second. And Boyce says these two stories tell us that in both our times of joy and our times of sorrow, the Lord is someone we can trust. So the man who was royalty of some kind came to Jesus in a difficult time. And in the sermon title, I asked the question, does Jesus still heal people today? Does he still work miracles today? George Mueller, who lived a century or so ago, he founded orphanages that provided for kids, and he had no regular source of income. There were people who gave to him regularly, but they didn't have fund drives like people have today. His way of getting money was just to get on his knees. I say just. He got on his knees and he prayed, and miraculously food and money would appear, and he sustained those orphanages. And this is what he said about faith. He says, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. If we can handle it, we seldom turn to God for help. But when we get to that situation, whatever it is, and we need help, that's when we turn. A pastor years ago did a survey. It's not scientific. There's no scientific outcome from it. Just his experience in talking to people. And he said, if you ask someone, do you believe Christ actually performed miracles during his life? People will say, for the most part, yeah, I believe that. They hardly hesitate. Then he says, if you ask the same person, do you believe Christ can and will work those miracles today, those same miracles today? He said, oftentimes people stammer. They're not quite as clear in their answer, and they give you kind of a garbled answer. He says, if you ask them, if Christ was present here today in the flesh, you're standing right here, do you believe he would work the miracles like those when he was in Galilee? And he says, those same people will say, yeah, if he was here in the flesh, he would do that. So he said, this pastor says, so the conclusion is that for many people, Christ must be physically present for their prayers to be answered, to have results. Now, I wonder sometimes about the miracles of Jesus that are in the Bible and why they're there. And I think one of the reasons this miracle is here and why John tells us about it is to show that Jesus doesn't have to be physically present to heal people. He's present, but not in a physical way. Let's look again for a few minutes at this story, this account that comes from John. There was a man. His son was very, very sick. And they didn't have doctors like they have today. And there wasn't really much help, hope for someone who was very sick. So he knew about Jesus. He heard about Jesus. And so he went from Capernaum to Galilee, which was quite a distance to walk. And he found Jesus, and he said to Jesus, John tells us he begged him. He doesn't really say much more about that, but I can almost see him down on his knees pleading with Jesus to come and heal his son. He said that his son was close to death. And Jesus, before addressing the man, he turns to the crowd and he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to ever believe. And the royal official then said, sir, come down before my child dies. He wanted Jesus to come to his house. He didn't want Jesus to say some words there or something. He wanted Jesus to come to his house. Imagine if you had someone in your family who was very sick, so sick you couldn't even get them out of the bed, and there wasn't an ambulance available, and you went to a doctor and said, come, my son or my daughter is so sick. Come and see what you can do. And the doctor said, oh, they'll be all right. And didn't want to come. You just go to somebody else. You wouldn't wait. But this man believe Jesus when he said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." That's all he said. "Go, your son will live." And the man believed. He didn't put up any argument. Have you ever asked someone to do a favor for you and they did it and just you never mentioned it again? You know, maybe you said, "You know, my back is hurt. Can you clean my driveway?" And maybe they shoveled it. Maybe they came with a truck with a plow and they cleaned it out really nice for you. Never say a word to them about it again. Would you do that? I think probably you wouldn't. I think you would thank them, express your appreciation. So many times we ask God to do things for us, but we don't look for the answer. We don't say thank you when our prayer is answered. The man started home believing Jesus' word. And some have suggested that he wasn't in a big hurry. He was just trusting Jesus and believing that his son would be healed. And because it was taking longer than they thought was necessary, his servants came out looking for him and found him. And they gave him the good news that his son was well. He was going to be okay. The fever broke. And the man said, "When did that happen?" And they said, "Well, yesterday afternoon around 1 o'clock, the fever broke and he was fine." And the man realized that that was the very time when Jesus had said to him, "Go, your son will live." And John tells us that because of this, the father believed, but not just the father, but the son and the whole household believed in Jesus. I have seen, I won't say lots and lots and lots, but I've seen some situations over the years where I really believed that God had healed someone. I remember my first appointment, there was a lady who had an aneurysm of the brain. Now, that's a pretty serious thing. And she had to go through some preparation in the hospital, and she had surgery, and she came out fantastic. And she had been engaged to be married before this, and we actually had the wedding in the hospital. I just, to this day, I find it miraculous. But the whole time that I was pastor of that church, and I know I'm making a judgment I shouldn't be making, but the whole time I was pastor, she never came to church once. And I always wondered what impact that miracle had on her life and on her spirit. Now, I need to transfer that a little bit to my own life and think about the things that God has done for me, because I feel like I've been healed a number of times. I feel like I've been blessed many times, and for as much as I have received, I feel like my response is so little in comparison to what God has done for me. The man believed, and from that word of John, we gather that he lived his life according to that belief. Jesus does not have to be present physically for him to heal us or to answer our prayers. if he was still here on earth, he'd be a pretty busy guy. I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always with us through good times and hard times, and that you care about us, and that we can bring our hurts, our cares, our needs to you. Help us always to look for the answers to our prayers, and help us to trust you and wait for you to answer in your own time and in your own way. Help us to be like this dad. Help us to trust you even when we don't know for sure. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our last hymn, 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Thank you. Does that make a difference? Can you see all right?
Yeah, I can see better.
Oh, okay.